Hey, Billy.
Hey, Pierre. What's up, man?
How are you? Good to talk to you. Thank you so much. It's 93.3 WMMR. I'm Pierre Robert. And our guest this afternoon is no stranger to this town. From the very first time he and his band came through in January of 1993 at Little J.C. Dobbs on South Street in front of a couple hundred people, to the last time he came through a couple of years ago in 2017 on the Revolution Radio Tour in front of 26,000 people sold out, to the next time that they will be here, which is this coming summer, August 29th, at Citizens Park, along with Fallout Boy and Weezer, in front of about 50,000 people on the Hella Mega Tour. That plus the brand new album that got released last week, Father of All Motherfuckers. It is a great pleasure to welcome, from a band I just love so much, Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day to MMR. Good day, sir.
I think that was the most glorious introduction I've ever gotten in my life. So thank you.
You're very welcome. I am so thrilled with this album. But before we get to it, I'm a coffee fiend. I don't know about you, but I have ordered the coffee because you have Father of All Motherfuckers coffee, and I just ordered it and the mug to go with it. I know you're working with Oakland Coffee to make it, but could you describe the taste of this coffee?
It's a bit nutty. No, it's not. It's like it's just like a nice dark roast. It's really good.
Do you like coffee?
I love coffee. I'm like literally bouncing off the walls right now as I'm talking to you. So it's yeah. It's great.
I look forward to getting it. All right, so this 10-song album is available on CD and vinyl. In fact, I just went down the other day to our local record store not far from the station, Main Street Music, and I picked it up on pink vinyl. And I love that, and you guys love vinyl. And it's interesting because the record originally was 16 songs, but you cut it down to 10. Now, even at 16, it wouldn't have been that long, but at 10, I think it's the shortest in Green Day history, just 26 minutes long. And I'm wondering why you cut the 6 songs in that probably adding them wouldn't have made it that much longer.
Right. I think we were trying to come up with sequencing a record is always like one of the hardest parts about making a record. So I had the 16 songs and I was putting them in sequence and I was having a difficult time. So then I was like, well, let me just pick my top 10 favorites that I know are going to go on. And I was like, well, that's the record right there. Those are the 10 songs. And it's sort of a departure of what we've been doing in the past, because we've done rock operas and the concept record, and we did, 3 albums for 36 songs on it and stuff like that, which is, good Lord, I can't even believe we did that.
Uno, dos, tres.
So we did it, and it's like it's the shortest album we've made, I think, in time-wise, since Insomniac.
You said it felt like all the songs were talking to each other and it felt right.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we wanted to go to like a history of rock and roll. So, I mean, we love anything from like Motown to the real originators like Little Richard, Chuck Berry, and then all the way to like glam rock with like Mott the Hoople and T-Rex. So, and then Joan Jett. And so, yeah, we just kind of wanted to really kind of let our influences just shine a little bit more.
Well, speaking of Joan Jett, Billy, you borrow a line from, or you borrow an actual vocal from Do You Want to Touch Me from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, where she sings, "Oh yeah." And on that song, "Oh yeah," you actually take a piece of her and the Blackhearts and insert it.
I always thought someone should sample that song, just like the beat is so good and the "oh yeah." And I never thought I'd ever get into sampling for some reason. I just thought it was probably like outside of my abilities or something. So then I just did it, and then I wrote a song around it. But yeah, I mean, we're such huge fans of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. So it was just like, it was just a fun thing to do, and it ended up, it was like peanut butter and jelly. It's worse,
We're speaking with Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day here on MMR. So you did an interview, the whole band did, for NME, Legendary Music Magazine, and they came to your rehearsal space in Oakland, and I found this pretty interesting. Apparently, on the wall above the guitar rack are 2 circular drum skins, And on one side, they're sort of divided up like pizza pies. There's words like fast, swing, and psychedelic trippy. Then on the other one, words like glam, 60s garage, and British pop invasion. How did these drum skins come into play in the making of this record?
We started doing that years ago, right after American Idiot, and we were getting into garage music. So I think like when we were doing Foxborough Hot Tubs, us and our friends would come over and have like a music club. And so we'd spin the wheel and just, it would be fun, something like a, you know, like a fun little exercise to do. And then, I think we just, you learn so much. And especially it's like, you know, do something that you're not used to doing, you know, get yourself into deep waters with music. You know, it definitely informs like anything that you're doing as far as writing songs. And it's definitely for the new record also.
I love how the sound of this band has expanded and your willingness to grow. I think you kind of started it on Good Riddance, adding the strings. But through the rock operas, you know, you've brought horns on stage. You've added sounds that a punk rock band might not think of doing. And for me as a listener, I've enjoyed your journey. And how you say you always try to push things in a new direction all the time. And that continues on this record. Even the title track has got kind of an altered sound. I could have introduced it as another band and people might not have known at the beginning.
Right. Yeah. You know, I just try not to do anything that I think that people want. I try to do things that people don't know that they want, you know, is sort of the way I look at it. So you got to just kind of get out of your comfort zone and just get into, I wouldn't say being experimental. I just think it's like, you know, just, you know, what music do you love? You know, whether it's like the Supremes, you know, or like I said before, it's like a song like Meet Me on the Roof or like the Archies, Sugar Sugar or something. And just go in and, you know, just make a mess. And then, you know, we'll see. Don't edit to yourself until you get it down to 10 songs.
Again, we're speaking with Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day, the new album, Father of All Mother. We have to beep that. But on stage, you are known to swear a lot and have a lot of fun. But one of the things I've enjoyed as long as I've been seeing you, which has been a long time, and being in the mosh pit, even for somewhat of an advanced age as I am, I've so much enjoyed when you bring somebody up on stage with you. And I'm wondering the process about that, because you do it at almost every show, but how you sort of, or if you've become a person that can kind of judge who's going to be able to actually play your guitar or sing a song, as opposed to those who are going to completely fail.
You know, it's a crapshoot. You never know what you're going to get. So it's either way, if someone can't play, it's like sometimes you get someone that is just a complete shredder and the crowd goes absolutely wild. And then you'll get someone that can barely put their hands on the damn thing. And you're like, and it's still, people kind of go nuts over it, because it's like, it's in the spirit of, you know, just connecting with everybody with the live experience, you know. So I remember being a kid and seeing like Van Halen play, and I was like 12, and then Eddie would come out and I'd go, God, it'd be so cool to be up there and do what he's doing. So, you know, it's like always keeping that in mind, you know, subconsciously. I think that's basically kind of what ends up happening, is just, you know, breaking down the barrier between the band and the audience.
Well, with that in mind, I have a little piece of tape. I think we'll be able to play this through the phone so you can hear it. But this is from July 21st of 2009. A lot of bands were coming through our old Spectrum and playing shows. They're kind of wishing that old hall farewell before they tore it down, unfortunately. And you were into Jesus of Suburbia, and you brought this kid up on stage. And, I mean, that's not an easy song to play. It's 9 minutes and something, and all these different parts. The guy's name is Derek, I believe. After he was done, I took my tape recorder and ran down on the floor and found him. And he was in this state of pure ecstasy that was so magical to witness watching, but then to talk to him briefly about it afterwards. And here's the tape.
It was incredible.
What's your name?
My name's Derek.
Where are you from?
Macungie, Pennsylvania.
Did you know he was going to do that?
No, actually.
Are you serious?
I was going nuts. And it just happened. It just happened.
Oh, wait a minute, dude. You know how to play.
Yeah, I know.
And you knew the words, though. Dude, he gave you the f***ing microphone and you sang it.
Billy was generous. He before each verse, he mouthed it to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because at first he said, do you want to sing it? And I was thinking, no, man, my head's flipped. I don't think I can do that. He just goes, I'll just, it's, dearly beloved. And you go, oh, yeah, and it all just comes back to you.
Wow. Wow. That was as cool a moment as I've seen in a long, long time. And you got out to the back of the room afterwards, and I saw you fall on your knees and fall down on the floor as if overcome by the spirit.
I was. The spirit was all over me, and I just said, take me. That's it. That's all I got. I was spent.
Congratulations.
My dreams just came true tonight.
Is that not the most amazing thing? Were you able to hear that okay?
Oh, my God. It just gave me the chills. Oh, that was so cool. God dang. Yeah, it's like, what more do you want in life than that? You know, it's like, I don't know. That's just God, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm like, whew, almost like teary-eyed just hearing that kid. It's pure joy.
Same for me. I mean, I had it when I saw it, and I said, I got to try to find that guy. I ran right down and found him, and he was just overcome, as was the crowd. But it was such a beautiful, magical, it's rock and roll in its purity. And that kid, his life was changed, you know. And, you know, on top of that, he nailed a very complicated song. And people can Google it and see it on YouTube, in fact, from that show. But I was so moved by it, and I'm really glad you were, too.
Yeah. It's, you know, man, that's where I got into the shit, you know. It's like, you know, music gets you high. And you could just tell that, like, that kid is just stoned out of his gore because of rock and roll music. You know, it's great.
But he was not in an altered state of consciousness. I mean, you know, he might have had a few beers, but he was sober, and he nailed those parts. And when I watched the video of it recently, which I had never seen, it just was so cool and so moving. A couple more things. I know you got to go, and we appreciate your time. But you said something that I just love, and I found it amusing. But you said, power pop is the greatest music on earth that no one likes. And I love a catchy melody, whatever it might be, you know, going back to like songs like I was making a list, like the Isley Brothers Shout, which you guys often will cover a piece of in a show, or Good Lovin' from the Lovin' Spoonful, or Louie Louie, or I Want to Hold Your Hand from the Beatles, or My Sharona, or Wild Thing from the Trox, or The Vapors Turning Japanese, or What I Like About You from the Romantics, or the Ramones, and on and on and on. And you have an ability to create songs that have elements of that. And to me, there's nothing wrong in that. It's joyous to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's like, I don't know, when I hear any, you know, if I hear like, you know, the Plimsolls A Million Miles Away,
yes.
It's like, I mean, that's the song that it's like undeniable, that it always gives me chills. Yeah, I mean, it's like I only say it because it's like nobody likes, because it's become such an underground phenomenon these days, with like there's so many, you know, there's this guy Jordan Jones, who's really great, fantastic songwriter, and you know, there's another band called The Whiffs, and you know, and obviously there's like the Exploding Hearts, like those are such like great bands, and they're all about good melody, and that's my favorite music of all time.
I could hang around with friends and do it all night long. Laws, There She Goes, you know, things like that. Anyway, there are so many great songs on this record, but I have it on vinyl, and before we let you go, I want to play the last song on the album, Graffitia, and I'm going to play it from vinyl, from this pink vinyl. Is there anything you'd like to say about the record or that particular song?
You know, Butch Walker produced the album, and I think that was one of his greatest, what he did on that song was so cool. Like, you know, just like doing Tommy James and the Shondells, kind of like Crimson and Clover or something vibe that he put on that song. He's so good. So, yeah, and it's the perfect, I mean, I think that was the song we always knew that was going to be kind of a great album ender. So it's, it's great.
And we have it on pink vinyl. Billy, I want to thank you so much. We can't wait till this summer when you guys and Weezer and Fall Out Boy go out. It's August 29th. It went on sale a while ago. It's already pretty near full. The band is amazing and continues to keep growing, which as a fan I love. And our station, MMR, has been on the air here for 51 and a half years, which is rather extraordinary for a rock and roll radio station. And I've been on for 38 years. I had a chance to interview the three of you guys on the Revolution Tour briefly in Camden. But it's a pleasure to talk to you and a pleasure to be a part of your journey as this band continues to grow and really thrive, I think. So thank you.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we just keep working hard. You know, that's what we do.
It's Billy Joe Armstrong, and it's 93.3 WMMR, and on vinyl, pink vinyl, no less, it's Graffiti. Thank you so much. All the best to you.
All right. Thanks, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.